this morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. We'll go ahead and call the Woodland Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, August 9th. So we're in August already. 11:45 a.m. If everybody could refresh their iPads, we do have an update on the, a couple of updates on the agenda. Item number 1 and 9. So make sure that those are refreshed. With those in mind, does anybody have any changes to the agenda? Okay, if not, we'll go into brief introduction. We have a couple of new individuals here today. Well, sort of new. First of all, our new city administrator, Ms. Valiant, is with us. So welcome aboard. Welcome to Willmar. I think most of us know you, but it's good to have you here. And we look forward to what you're going to be able to do for the city. So
I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. And also our newest commissioner, former council member, Mr. Meske. I think most of the people in the room know who you are, but if you want to just do a real brief introduction, you know, where you work and a little bit of your history, that'd be great.
Sure. Sean Meske. I'm a soon-to-be 30-year veteran of Ridgewater College, teach biology there. Did serve a term and an extra year on the city council and was a liaison here. And thought to myself I was done doing politics at that point. However, there were only a couple organizations that I was part of as a council member that I thought, if ever asked, I would probably come out of retirement very quickly, and this was one of them. This organization has always been one of the more well-run, well-oiled machines of the city, and I commend the staff and all of those associated with this commission for that. So I am very glad to be on this side, and actually, more words I've said in this room than the 5 years combined, so nice to also have a voice in this room. So I am looking forward to it, so thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Meske. It's good to have you on board. We appreciated your time as council liaison and look forward to working with you now in the commission, so we appreciate that. All right, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
All right. We have our consent agenda, which now consists of payments in the amount of roughly $200,000, as well as minutes from the July 26th meeting. I'd look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Mr. Heron, anything on bill payments that you did want to point out?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Matter. On page 5, there's an invoice there from Jet Black for asphalt repair. That's the first invoice of multiple invoices we'll be receiving from Jet Black. After soliciting RFPs, Alan went out and solicited RFPs for the work. Jet Black was a low bidder for that work. That is part of the transition from the water main repairs over to us. In our budget, we have $70,000 budgeted. That was with input from Gary Manzer, the street department. They used to do our patching, and we anticipate that we're going to be fairly close at $70,000 when they're done. So,
all right, thank you. Any further discussion on the resolution or any questions on bill payments? All right, seeing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take the roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Mabul?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Abstain.
Erickson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution passes. Thank you. All right, next up, we have our monthly financial reports. Ms. Precker.
Thank you. So when we're looking at the electric division for June, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are up about $533,000 from the prior year. Expenses up $211,000. Overall retained earnings up about $618,000 from the prior year. Since this was the end of a quarter, we are doing a comparison to 2019, kind of a pre-COVID look. So when we look at that, the revenues are up about $75,000. Expenses up about $183,000. And retained earnings up about $508,000 from that 2019 look. Moving on to the water division, after factoring in the 20% rate increase for 2021, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are up about $28,000 from where we would expect them to be. Expenses are up about $216,000, and overall retained earnings are up about $137,000 from prior year. Compared to 2019, after factoring in a 20% rate increase for 2020 and 2021, these revenues are up about $27,000 from where we would expect them to be, and expenses up about $140,000. And after factoring in those rate increases, our retained earnings are up about $2,000 compared to 2019. And when we look at all divisions combined, our retained earnings up about $755,000 from the prior year. If we look at 2019, after factoring in those rate increases for the water division, the retained earnings are up about $297,000. And the next page with the graphs compares revenues, expenses, and retained earnings by month to the prior year, and also our year-to-date totals. And the last one with the investments, our month-end value is $43,349,000, and there was nothing to note for June on this report.
Very good. Any questions? All right, we're looking good, just kind of sailing through for now, so appreciate that. Thank you, Andrea. All right, next on the agenda, we have our wind turbine report update. Mr. Marty.
Thank you, Chair Manning. As you can see from the wind turbine report, July was, we had some issues still with a grid protection fault. As shown, availability for both turbines, 70.7% on turbine 3, 84.3% on turbine 4. That combined with a normally non-windy month gives us kilowatt hours output of 156,572. Looking at the next page, you can see where we end up compared to previous years, down a little bit because of the availability, and year-to-date production is $3,460,951. A little bit of update on that grid protection issue that we've been experiencing. Staff, including help from the line department and engineering department and the maintenance department, have been diagnosing that issue and have it kind of narrowed down from outside in. Have been checking numerous things with the tower and the grid and working towards a central, or we hope is the end result. The next step is to have the relays in the bottom of each turbine tested, and we are at relays and CTs and PTs, and we are requesting bids on those currently. So that'll be the next step to help diagnose the issue. That's kind of what we've gotten narrowed down to. We also are experiencing another issue with turbine 3 with a yaw motor. So if you've seen turbine 4 moving and turbine 3 not even facing the correct direction, that's what's happening there. And the guys are working on diagnosing that currently. I'd love to take questions about the wind turbines if you have them.
Devin, as always, we appreciate the update. As far as the grid protection problem that we are seeing, at this point, we're just kind of manually keeping an eye on things so we don't have an extended, like, hey, we didn't know anything was going on
for
a week type thing.
That's correct. We did do some tests about a week and a half, week and a half ago. And since those were completed, we have not seen any faults. But I would suspect that just because I said that out loud, that we'll have one. So we're cautiously optimistic watching that, but we are moving forward to get those units tested. They're 12, 13 years old, and they're due for some maintenance and testing regardless. So we're going to keep moving forward with that. But
okay. Thank you. Commissioner DeBleek.
In regard to the yaw motor,
yep.
Parts availability, are you able to find parts for these things yet? Or?
We actually, last week, Matt was able to go up, and we had extra sensors on hand. There's two sensors in there. One of them reads when it turns to the left. The other one reads when it turns to the right. There's a handful of components that we do have backups for here on hand. What we don't have, they have in at Olympia in Oklahoma. So.
Okay.
We've been working with him back and forth to diagnose that. So.
Okay. Other questions? All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Next up, we have an update on the Wilmer drought and water restriction situation. Mr. Neer and possibly Mr. Riddell as well.
System supervisor. As early as June, we've had the summer of hot and fairly dry conditions, and I started speaking with some staff and John, general manager John Heron, and as things have progressed this summer, we thought it was an opportune time to bring in a drought update as needed for the commission itself, and this will be the inaugural one, and I don't know if Wilmer's ever had one prior to this, as far as drought is concerned. So with everything here, the water restrictions, after the initial discussions, were put in place, odd and even watering on 611, and this was actually more to help protect our capacity issues within the city at that time. We had several days of extremely warm and dry dry temperatures and dry conditions. Weather-wise, everybody was watering like gangbusters, and a couple of errors with the one treatment plant and a fire brought our reservoir levels down to a point where I felt we needed to try to get a handle on things, otherwise we may have other issues later on in the month. With those being, with the restrictions being enacted, we have regained everything that we have over the last couple months. We gained everything, and our system is very resilient and operating as normal. There's a couple of things about drought that we have to take some short-term actions to make long-term and look forward for long-term decisions. Nobody has the crystal ball that tells us how long the drought's going to be or how things are going to turn out, if we're going to have a wet winter season or not. So there are certain things that have happened. In July, the DNR put out a letter elevating us to a severe category, and what that means is we are mandated to 1.5 times our monthly average for January. To this point, we've had no issues meeting that time, meeting that for July or June, which was, June was prior to this, but because we were proactive, we were able to head off any other issues without having to play catch up. A couple of notes that I wanted to put out that weren't on our update. We had 8 days in June above 6 million gallons per day that was pumped into the distribution system. And I don't think there was ever another month that did that many days above 6 million gallons at this point as well. Versus we only had 1 day in July, so the restrictions did appear to help somewhat. We did have a little easing in July as well and some rain, but I think the decision was warranted. So we'll go down. I have been in contact, let's see, why isn't it doing, there we go. I have been doing, along with Chris Riddell, conservation meetings with our high use accounts, and everything has gone very well with these. Mostly we're explaining what we're looking at, explaining the actual items that we have to fall under with the drought plan from the state, and then ask them some other questions on how they need to coordinate with us different things, how we are willing to help out with some auditing if that's necessary, and those have gone very well to this point. This picture here is basically just the statewide drought matrix plan, and the meat on this is that we have been gone, elevated up what they would consider the warning phase under severe drought. Those items through that are what we're at right now, and again, we're making that fairly easily. The problem comes into the next level up if we go to an extreme drought, and I'll show you in the next slide how that affects us, but trying to get to 1.25 of our January totals is going to be a tougher problem for us. We're roughly 300,000 gallons a day that we need to try to reduce to be able to fit under this. The positive thing is that's an average. So we do have weekend times when we are able to catch up when the total distribution demand goes down. But for the rest of the time, we are over.
If I can chime in here, if you allow me to chime in here a little bit before you go to that map. Okay. To expand on that a little bit, if we end up in the extreme drought phase, as Alan indicated, we only can be 125% of our January consumption. Between Alan and Chris's visits with our large customers, we are fairly confident we will be able to pick up that extra $300,000. Not $300,000, it's 300,000 gallons that we need to pick up. It's not in our policy at this point in time. Only the first phase that we are in now has been addressed in our policy. So once we have a little higher comfort level of our ability to meet, we'll be bringing a policy change forward so that at staff level, we know we have the authority to implement the means to meet the 1.25. So thank you, Alan.
You bet. The nice thing too is everything resets January next year, so if we have a lower demand January 2022, then, well, actually that's a bad thing, because then that means everything else drops down. So we're hoping for more usage in January to be able to meet the numbers. So next short page here, U.S. Drought Monitor for Minnesota, and actually you can zero in on Candiola County on percentages. If you can look there, we do have some of the red, which is what is considered extreme drought. I believe we're at 35% of the county is covered in that red. It's not enough for them to make a higher trigger to bring the whole county under an extreme, but this is produced weekly, and it's one of the items that I do observe. Any questions?
Yes. You say they do this evaluation weekly.
Yes.
Once you're in an extreme drought, and we have to do these other measures, if you get pulled back out, do we get to then reverse any adjustments that we make?
Yes. We have to kind of look at what our hard numbers are. That's one of the things that we're going to discuss this winter and in the off time here, is how we set up our hard numbers. So there'll be thresholds and firm data points that we can say, okay, this is why we elevated a situation, and this is what we need to achieve before we'll back down. So since this is new to Wilmer, we're building it as we go.
Okay. I think Commissioner Muskie, to further expand on that, if you look at DNR, the statewide drought plan matrix, yeah, as circumstances elevate, as they de-escalate, I'm sure the DNR would follow that same matrix and eventually continue to drop us down.
Depending on what water we do have this winter, they may allow us to back down to start the next spring, or we may start right out at the extreme level. It all depends on what the winter does bring at this point.
So, quick question. My understanding is most of our water that we consume comes from the well. Is the drought really kind of the water? The wells, are they going down? I mean, is it affecting in that regard? Or
seasonally, we do have some dips, and that's normal because we do pump quite a bit more in the summer season.
Yeah.
But we'll know more after the winter months and get to spring, where we'll see if we recover or not. If we don't recover like we usually do, then we might have to address some things. But as of right now, I don't see any big drops in any of our wells in the aquifer, so we're still just as robust as we've been in the other years.
I just wanted to mention regarding Mr. Muskie's question, we have been communicating directly with the DNR hydrologist in the area as well. So, and he was actually we just started, I believe, in early July talking to him, and he was very impressed that we were proactively setting up the water restrictions and they're already meeting the goals of what the warning phase was. So there is some maneuverability with if they set us into the more restrictive phase. I think there's a little bit of time maneuverability with that as well.
Any further questions?
It's not like we have to immediately flip a switch and try to make this drop. We do the best we can and come up with those answers, and if we don't make it, then we try something else along the way. They are working with this every step with this process.
Certainly a fluid situation, so.
Yes. With keeping an eye on, we're doing short-term things for long-term, possibly a long-term issue. This is the drought outlook. The Weather Service and other entities compile a whole bunch of data and they put this out. This particular version is on a monthly basis. And the thing I want to point out is that our outlook, at least for the month of August, is still that we're going to continue in this present situation. There's no improvement likely as of yet. That can change at any time. Our wet time is usually the end of August going into September, so we hope for some good rain. If there's any other overall questions of me.
Any additional questions?
Well, very strange how we're very similar to the West Coast, where it's really a huge drought compared to Minnesota. I'm surprised.
It has pushed all the way over on the north end this year, yes. In past years, you've probably been able to see it go all the way around on the south end. I think a few years ago, Texas had a pretty bad drought going on. Okay. And then they had a couple of hurricanes, and it changed a lot of things down there. So, yes.
It can always get worse, right?
Hope not.
Hope not. All right, any final questions? Okay, thank you for that update, Mr. Neer. Appreciate that. Next up, we have information on our annual tour, which would be for next meeting. We've got a schedule that's listed here for sites that we would visit, and we're looking at possibly adjusting meeting time. Want to have a little discussion on that. So, Mr. Heron, I'll turn that over to you.
Thank you, Chair Madden. As Chair Madden indicated, we got a schedule. Staff put together a tentative schedule. A couple things we're looking for from the Commission today for direction. One is there anything the Commission like added or deleted from our proposal? At staff level, there's an additional item that we would add yet in addition to what's there, plus anything that the Commission may have that they want altered. And then our second question is, would you want to meet at noon or 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, a different time other than noon. We will keep our commission meeting very short, just our business that would be required. That's why we amended today's agenda. As of this morning, a Missouri River Board meeting recap came in, so we added that, so we can have it next, at our next meeting, so we can shorten it up regardless of the time of the meeting. So, also, once the time is set, we'll invite the City Council. In the past, we've always invited the City Council and the City Administrator on this tour, and we've usually had two or three individuals that would attend. So, Kevin will schedule the bus, so we will schedule the time and the size of bus accordingly.
So this is for the August 23rd meeting, our next meeting in 2 weeks. Looking at the outline here of the facilities that we want to visit, one request that I had had for Mr. Heron is for next year to make sure to add the service center and storage area and all of that to the agenda as well. But is there any changes that anybody wants to make or wants to see different on the tour schedule itself? Are we comfortable with that? Mr. Hand, did you indicate that staff did have one change to this? Or?
Yes, we do not have on here our power plant substation area, so okay. We add that to it to point that out so everybody kind of knows where that is going to be located once construction starts.
Everybody's comfortable with the outline as listed? Then the secondary thing that we're looking at is, do we want to switch the time for the meeting on the 23rd? Do we want to still plan for kind of a noon hour, do a quick meeting and have our tour, or do we want to shift things to the afternoon? I know we've done both in the past, so kind of looking at what everybody's schedule looks like.
We could, Chair Mannon, if I can add a little bit to that. If the commission is open to a noon, we could start at 11, we could start at 12. We'd anticipate roughly 2 hours with the meeting and the tour. We anticipate we could have it done in 2 hours. We'd have lunch on the bus if you wanted to go at noon. Same thing if you wanted to go later in the day, it would still be 2 hours. If it's the evening meeting, we still could have lunch on the bus as well as we're touring.
Commission preferences, time schedule for that day?
I'll prefer noon, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Lunch. A couple of lunch options, we're good with that? Okay, so standard 11:45 meeting, about 15 minutes, and then noon we'll do the tour? Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Okay, so meeting first, followed by the tour, start with the meeting. Okay, do you want lunch at 11:30 like normal, or is time of the essence that you want lunch on the bus?
Everybody comfortable on the bus?
That's fine.
More efficient probably that way, eat on the bus.
Okay, perfect, thank you. That's what we're looking for.
Thank you.
That direction.
All right, I'll let you continue on with the MRES and WMMPA updates.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. Mike, do you want to start us off with it, please? Thanks.
Welcome to our board report for the July board meeting of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. This is Member Services Representative Joan Pack. The boards met in mid-July in the member community of Detroit Lakes, Minnesota for their annual strategic planning session. During the two-day session, the boards received an update on industry trends and issues and reviewed the progress made on Missouri River's current strategic objectives. The board also closely examined the top member challenges and suggestions that were identified in the member survey conducted this spring. This led to an in-depth discussion on potential new strategic priorities and the potential corresponding actions Missouri River should consider. Those include assisting members with staffing needs, promoting reliability in member communities with local generation, and preserving the Missouri River membership. The board is also looking at ways to expand the member policymaker role in legislative activity to promote acceptable clean energy provisions. In addition, the board is considering the provision of Missouri River Consulting Services on Midwest Reliability Organization requirements and other efforts to help members keep up with technology and industry changes. Next, the boards continue their discussion on several topics regarding behind-the-meter generation, including the treatment of transmission costs, placement of Missouri River solar facilities in member communities, and payment to members for local renewable energy projects. The boards also reviewed options for financial reserves and S1 rates for the next several years. No action was taken on strategic priorities during the July meeting. In other business, board chair for Mount Roberts appointed Brad Palmer of Pierce, South Dakota to serve on the Member Technology Committee and the Personnel Committee. That wraps up our report from the board's annual strategic planning session. Thank you for watching, and please join us next month for a recap of the August board meeting.
Thank you, Mike.
Any further updates on either of those board meetings?
I don't have any unless there's questions, Chair Matter.
Any questions at all? Mr. Blake?
I have one thing I should mention that I took a trip down to Pella, Iowa, and had a tour of the dam that the Missouri River had, MRESS has installed on the Des Moines River down there. It's a 55 megawatt hydro generator that they put in. It's up and operational. It's been, I think it was commissioned in this past March. It was fully commissioned, so the only thing with it, low water levels. It's like anything, if you're planning to have water, you need it to run through the dam to be able to generate electricity. It's been generating some, but not near as highly as high as was expected. So, but the project started back in 2013 or 14. That time period was basically ready to come online last year about this time. But due to the pandemic and that, the open house and tours and the like were delayed a year or so. But a very, very interesting project, interesting tour. If you ever have next chance, I highly recommend anybody that hasn't been there should take the trip down and take a look at a hydro plant. They are different than a coal plant, but some similarities, but a lot of differences. So we'll say that this was installed on an existing dam that was built back in the late 30s, 1930 or so, by the Army Corps engineers as flood mitigation. And say like in 2014, MERS came forth with a proposal and to build a hydro plant on the dam, and the Army Corps of Engineers is highly involved and regulates the amount of water that can be released from the dam. Like I say, right now their water levels are extremely low, so there probably won't be much change unless there's a lot of change in that drought map that we've just seen. Des Moines River drains most of northern Iowa and up into Buffalo Ridge area, Minnesota. So now I see all that was on that drought map. So, but the dam is functioning, and the plant does run, but it's been curtailed quite heavily with the low water levels. So,
thank you for that update. All right, any other comments or questions on that? All right, we'll move into the general manager's report, Mr. Heron.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Matter. We have our budget meeting set August 24th. Our budget process being led here by Andrea is being wrapped up, and we will be presenting that to the Planning Committee, as I said, August 24th. So from there, it will come before the Commission for approval. And the reason we are as early as we are in the process is because of our transmission attachment or budget that we need to submit here in October. So additional item on that agenda will consist of further discussion on our electric billing policy for the apartments and where do we want to go with that. And then we do not have a labor committee meeting set up yet, but there will be one coming. We have one item that we committed to completing by November 1st, and that's our clothing policy for our staff. So we are in the process of pulling that information together. So labor committee, please look for an email from Beth this setting that meeting up here in the next week or so. So that would conclude my updates unless there's questions.
Any questions? All right. and I understand, Mr. Muskie, you have been assigned to the Planning Committee. Are you aware of that, and are you comfortable with that?
Yes and yes.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Any other business to come before the Commission today?
Well, mention the Planning Committee is going to meet on the August 24th at noon.
At noon.
So put that down on your calendar.
I got it.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
we have a motion to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.